Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tom Anastasi is here. Tom's a great member, 10-year member of our Brain Trust. He's a professor at Boston University in the Department of Organizational Behavior. He's one of the top Main Street business experts on the planet. He's the author of The Successful Entrepreneur. He's also a filmmaker. Spin the Plate is his first indie film. He's got more on the way. He's our good friend, Tom. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's good to have you back. So let me set you up for what we're going to talk about by telling you a story, Tom. Over the last 9 months, I've interviewed a number of CEOs. In fact, one of them is going to be back on the show in the next half hour, second half hour, who are running, some of them running international workplaces. I mean, they got people in different countries. And when I asked them how, back in the summer, in May, June, July, when I said, how is it going with all the remote working? They said to me, every one of them, not without exception, everyone said, I'm surprised at how productive we've been. In fact, in some cases, we're doing better than if we were all under the same roof. And then they said, almost every one of them said, and then I asked my financial executive, tell me again why I'm paying $5 million in rent. What do you think, Tom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the companies have found that, it works. I mean, I think the theory was, unless you have people all in the same room, you can't make sure that they're productive all the time, and that's why you do it. But, I mean, commuting costs and also getting people from a recruitment standpoint, you don't have to get people who just want to live in the New York area. You can get people from anywhere. And so I think that people have learned a lot from this.
Well, there's no question about it. And it's this shutdown, the political shutdown in response to the coronavirus. We have to realize, I mean, I've been doing this since the beginning, since April. I've been trying to remind people that we have two things going on right now. We have a real live medical crisis of a coronavirus, a pandemic that could kill us. And the response to that, the political response to that, are these shutdowns, which is a completely separate challenge for business owners. And, well, really for everybody, but especially people who make payroll on Friday. And so we have to differentiate those two. And one begets the other. But what you're talking about is when everybody gets vaccinated and we don't have to worry about the coronavirus anymore, hopefully that will happen, we're still going to be left with the residual of the response, aren't we?
We are. That all this debt we're running up, I mean, there's lots of reasons to do it and take care of people, and that's kind of what the country's always been about. But we're going to have to pay this back, and that is not a trivial thing, and that's going to really change, you know, the way we look at everything and how much people can help small businesses, tax policy, all that is going to be affected for probably a decade.
Well, maybe a generation. Probably more like a generation, because you don't unwind this kind of fiscal and monetary excess that we have right now. You don't unwind that in a decade. It could take two generations if we ever find the discipline to get started on it. I mean, that's the thing that we have to watch for, Tom. Is the unwinding may happen in a organic way, not a policy way. You know what I mean? The organic dynamism of a marketplace, of economics, of numbers, may take care of the resolution for us. What do you think?
Well, I know that other countries, when they've basically tried to print money, which is what we're doing, because all this debt is owned by the Federal Reserve, so they're basically, they have a printing press. When other countries have tried it, it's gotten really bad really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Having debt be this percentage of the GNP, it just is very scary. It can be done, but it's going to take sacrifice, and we have not been super good about taking sacrifices for the long term.
We're moving in the wrong
really
direction.
Really, decade. It's
that.
Both parties.
And not to get too macro on this, I guess maybe I'm about to do that. I wonder. I wonder if we aren't looking at a global reset eventually, and maybe not in my lifetime, but in my children's lifetime. A global reset, you know what I mean? Where, because the concern we have is the debt, right? I mean, if there's money being printed, it's somebody's just consuming that, and we owe those people for that, and countries hold our debt, things like that. And there might have to be like a global reset of some kind. What do you think? Is that too crazy?
It could be. It could be. But I know that, my grandchildren are going to be the ones who are going to be paying this back.
That's right.
Which isn't to say that a lot of things needed to be done to avoid a worse problem. But we've got to sit there and realize, okay, after this is over, right, what are we going to do? But I think that small businesses have learned a lot, as you had said. They've learned a lot. Oh, my gosh, we can do things, especially dealing with customers. We don't have to deal face-to-face and still provide good customer service, which I think is pretty good. So there are good things that have come out of this.
Some small businesses have changed their business model as a necessity to survive into something that they never would have done otherwise. And they're never going to go back. I mean, some restaurants are saying, we're making more money serving customers this way than we did the other way.
But, oh, absolutely. I know that in our town, a restaurant opened and they didn't even have seating. So they're just takeout, and you don't have all that overhead.
Now we're getting back to what's changing in society. How is our society changing? And that's what I want to talk about when we come back, because you're an organizational behavior expert, and so when we come back, I want to talk about how society will play the point counterpoint to in that shift, how consumers will help make this shift after the break with our good friend Tom Anastasi. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.